Bind me not to the pasture. Chain me not to the plow. Set me free to find my calling, and I'll return to you somehow. If you are a fan of the Andy Griffith Show, as am I, you probably have a favorite episode, maybe several favorites. I found it interesting that the late Andy Griffith and Ron Howard, who played Opie, both have one episode that they call their favorite. And it's probably going to surprise you. It's titled Opie the Birdman. It's the story of Opie receiving a slingshot. And down at the sheriff's office, the man who had more expertise on anything, anywhere, Barney Fife, tries to teach Opie how to use his slingshot. It didn't go so well, if you recall. He knocks out a glass in the sheriff's office. So Opie takes his slingshot, and he's walking around the town of Mayberry when he accidentally kills a mother bird. It didn't take Andy long to discover that this little bird had been killed and left three baby birds as orphans. This is especially poignant because Opie doesn't have a mother. We're never told what happened to the mother. We assume she died. But here he is, and there are three little birds who are now orphans because of his carelessness. So Andy tells Opie that he has to take the responsibility of raising the three little orphaned birds. And he takes that responsibility very seriously. He even names the birds Winkin, Blinkin, and Nod. He puts them in a bird cage to protect them from the neighbor's cat. And every morning he carefully digs up some juicy worms, and he provides food and water for these little baby birds. Of course, the day came when the birds were getting larger, and Andy told Opie that he could not keep those little birds confined in the cage. He was going to have to let them go. Of course, Opie doesn't want to do this. He cannot bear the thought of letting those little birds go. But Andy explains to him, as he becomes the wise sage, the wise father, he tells his son that it's the natural order of the world that we have to let go. It makes the world bright and interesting. Of course, while Andy is telling this to Opie, he's also telling this to himself because he knows the day is coming when he has to let go, as every parent knows the day is coming when we have to let go. And so Opie finally releases the birds from the cage. And in the final scene of that wonderful show, he's standing there with the empty cage. And Opie tells his father, he says, "This cage looks really empty now." And in one of the greatest lines in the 8 years of that incredible series, Andy smiles and he says, "Yes, son, it sure does. But don't the trees seem nice and full? Set me free to find my calling, and I'll return to you somehow." In the prologue of the Gospel of John, we find that incredible story of the true light that enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. It is the story of the Word made flesh, the story that Kim shared with us from the 16th chapter of John, when Jesus says to his disciples, "I came from the Father. I have come into the world." John also tells us that God loved the world so much that he gave us his only begotten Son. We could change that and say God loved the world so much that he was willing to let go. He was willing to let go of his only Son. He set his only Son free so that he could find his calling. Paul wrote that his equality with God, he left the glory of heaven, and that equality with God was not something that he held on to, but he was willing to let go, as the Father was willing to let him go, so that he might become a servant. The Word became flesh, so that he might become the one who would be obedient even unto the death upon the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave, he let go of his only begotten Son. You know, one of the hardest things in life is to let go, isn't it? Every parent knows what I am talking about. Whether it's the first day of preschool, the first day of kindergarten, whether it's when you turn 16 and they hand you the keys to the car, you have to let go. And in just a few weeks, we'll be having a baccalaureate celebration when we say to our high school seniors, as a church, we have to let you go. We have to set you free to find your calling. And one of the most difficult journeys to make in life is that journey when you drive your child to college. And your car and their car is filled to the brim. And you come back and the car is empty. And I don't need to tell you any more about that. You see, it's only when we set our children free that they can truly find their calling. I think it's interesting when you open the gospel, when you look at the very first gospel, which is the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. For those of you that have been coming to the Bible study on Monday night or Tuesday morning, you know I have a great picture of the sun rising over the Sea of Galilee. It's one of the most beautiful, inspirational places on the face of the earth. And every morning of new creation, when that sun rises, you can just imagine the Son of God walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, calling the first disciples. Mark tells us that he saw Simon and Andrew. He said, "Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." And then he saw James and John. He tells us that their father was with them, their father Zebedee. And when he called them, he tells us that James and John immediately left their father Zebedee. They left their dad in the boat. You really get the impression he's not too happy about that. But you see, he had to let them go. He had to set them free so that they could find their calling. It's not an easy thing to do. If you know the story of Martin Luther, the great reformer, Martin Luther had a father who was a very successful miner. He was successful enough that he could afford to send his son to school to get a law degree. But this is what his father wanted. His father wanted Martin to go to school to get a law degree and then come back and protect the family business. "I'm going to have a lawyer on my side now. I won't have any problems anymore." But you remember what happened? He was coming home one day, and suddenly there was this ferocious thunderstorm like the one we had on Thursday. I tell you, a few minutes after 8 on Thursday morning, there was a clasp of thunder. The fire alarm went off. The children had to evacuate. It was crazy around here. But it was even worse for Martin Luther, because he didn't think he would survive. He thought he would die. And he cried out to St. Anne, who, by the way, was the patron saint of miners. And you remember what he said? He said, "Anne, save me and I will become a priest." Well, he was saved and he became a priest. But his father didn't like it a bit. He was like Zebedee in that boat. He never wanted to let his son go. And if you study the life of Martin Luther, it is a life in which he's always trying to please his father. He always feels a sense of being inadequate. Even when he was dealing with the church authorities, a father figure, he felt he had let them down because they never let him go. When I first heard this beautiful, powerful anthem, it spoke to me on different levels. It spoke to me in a very personal way, because it is a story of letting go, of giving permission to those we love to go and find their calling. Not just when our children are ready to leave home, but there comes a time of death, when it is important for us to let our loved ones go. I have seen many times when somebody is at the point of death, when it is important for family members to say to them, "It's okay. It's okay for you to go home. We're going to be just fine." Sometimes people have to have permission. We have to let them go so that they can be set free to find their eternal calling. This spoke to me because it reminded me of the time that my father let me go. When I went to college, I was not that far away from home, and I could easily get in the car and be home in an hour or so. But when I decided to go to seminary, I went all the way from Alabama to North Carolina. My grandmother never got over that, because she said she was suspicious of anything that had the word north in it. And it felt like I had gone light years away from home. And I remember my father was always so wonderful when it came to moving. And a lot of you dads know about moving into dorms, getting a U-Haul and moving your child into an apartment, moving all of those boxes. My daddy had a little Volkswagen. He packed that Volkswagen to the hilt, and the only piece of furniture I owned was a bookcase, and he strapped it to the top. And his little car and my car were packed mainly with books and clothes and that bookcase on the top, and that was about it. We went through the mountains. I remember we spent the night somewhere around Asheville. And you know when you're on I-40 and you're going east from Asheville and you pass Ridgecrest, Black Mountain, and all of that, there comes a time when you look out before you and there's a beautiful expanse, you see the valley. And I remember seeing that morning, thinking, this is my new life. This is where I will be going to find my calling. We got to Old Wake Forest, the town of Wake Forest, where the college used to be. And I was on the third floor of Johnson dorm. They did not have elevators. And I remember my dad and I carrying all of those boxes up those three flights. And when we carried the last box, we put it down, and I turned to him, and I said, "Well," I said, "Daddy, I guess that's it. Let's go find a place to eat supper." And Daddy said, "No, I need to go home." And there was a quick goodbye, and he was gone. My mother told me a number of years later that when he got back home, he said, "I lost my son." And in many ways, our lives were separate. It wasn't just the distance. It was tainted by a terrible disease, an addiction called alcoholism that I didn't try to understand. And so my father and I were estranged for a number of years. But I'm so thankful that later in his life, we were able to reconcile. Although things were never really the same. But one day, it was in early December, I think it was 1997. One day, I told Joyce, I said, "I need to go see my daddy. I said, I don't know why. I just have this feeling that I need to go and see him." And so I went by myself. I drove to Alabama, and I went in to see my father. It was one of the best visits we had ever had. We reminisced. We talked. We laughed. We shared special times. And I was getting ready to leave. And I'll never forget, my father was, because of a lung issue he had, he was confined to a bottle of oxygen. So he's sitting there. And I go to the door. I'm about ready to walk out. And my dad said, "You remember that time that I drove you to North Carolina?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "You probably wondered why I left so fast." He said, "I couldn't let you go. I didn't know how to say goodbye." I realized as I was standing there that it was time for me to do something. It was time for me to let my daddy know that I could tell him goodbye. It was now my turn to let him go. And it was the last time I ever saw him. A few weeks later, he was dead. "Bind me not to the pasture. Chain me not to the plow. Set me free to find my calling, and I will return to you somehow."
Amen.
Each transition of life has a farewell and a new beginning. A farewell is full of history and legacy. A new beginning is full of hope and promise. But we cannot embrace the new beginning. We cannot be free to find our calling until we let go, until we're set free.